Father in heaven, our hearts have just been made tender this morning by the knowledge of your presence moving in our midst. Thank you for this ministry of music that has just brought us into your throne room. And Lord, as we bow before you, we recognize again that you are the one who is our great burden bearer. You are our high priest. You know every need that we have. And so, Lord, today we pray that you just help us to bring those to you, to the feet of Jesus. And with faith and confidence in you and in your ongoing work and your good purposes in our lives being worked out, that we would trust you with every situation. Lord, as we open your word this morning, we do so with the knowledge that we are in the presence of the one who is the living word. We pray your Holy Spirit to take your word and make it alive within us as we tune our ears to hear what your Holy Spirit would say this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brett Kay tells an occasion where a news photographer was given the assignment of taking pictures of a forest fire from the air, and that an airplane would be waiting for him at the airport to fly him up over the fire. So he arrived at the airport, and sure enough, there was a small plane waiting on the tarmac. He jumped in with his equipment and shouted, "Let's go!" The pilot, somewhat tense-looking fellow, taxied out onto the runway, and soon they were in the air. "Fly out over the north side of the fire and make several low-level passes," instructed the photographer. The pilot nervously turned to him and said, "Why do you want me to do that?" "Because I'm going to take pictures, and I'm a photographer, and that's what photographers do." "You mean you're not the flight instructor?" I wonder if that counted as a solo flight, which is the final requirement for a pilot's license. Who's your flight instructor? We all need one. There are so many people in this world flying without one, or one that isn't qualified. There are so many voices in this world who want to be our flight instructor, but there's only one that's qualified, and that's Jesus. God very clearly presents himself as the shepherd of his people, just to mix metaphors this morning, but I want to come to the biblical one. Prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 40 verse 10 writes, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and his arm rules for him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart and he gently leads those who have young." In John chapter 10, Jesus declared that he was the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for his sheep. And I believe that when we truly understand and believe in the goodness of the Lord, when we truly do, that we have absolutely no trouble in surrendering our lives to him. Amen? To the one who is the good shepherd, and to follow his leading and to follow his direction in our lives. He leads his flock as a shepherd, as the good shepherd would lead his sheep. The greatest picture of this truth comes in Psalm 23. Psalm 23 comes within a context. It's part of a triad consisting of Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. Psalm 22 is the psalm of the cross. It's the psalm of the good shepherd laying down his life for his sheep, the one who died for us. It's a psalm of his past work for us. Psalm 24 is the psalm of the crown, the chief shepherd, the one who's crowned King of Glory, the one who is coming for his own, the one who will lead his people into eternal glory. It is a psalm of his future work. And it is in this context, right in between of what he has done and what he will yet do, that we find Psalm 23, a psalm of his present work in us. The psalm of the crook. The psalm of the great shepherd who guides and protects his sheep. The one who lives for us. Psalm 23 is singularly the greatest piece of literature ever written. But it's not just literature. It's God's message of his love and of his care for his own as his shepherd. I'm going to ask that we recite this psalm together. And it's coming up right beside a picture that is one of my all-time favorite. I've explained to you the picture before. But if you haven't seen that picture in times past, just focus on that picture even and the meaning of it even as we recite this psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The first verse of this psalm is the key that unlocks the rest of the psalm. There is the declaration of the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd, my shepherd." This is a tremendous statement. It is personal. It is possessive. He is my shepherd. This psalm is about the relationship that exists between God and his people. The psalmist is declaring here that he has placed himself under the shepherd's care, and David knew all about what it meant to be a shepherd. And to experience the care and the leading that the shepherd offers, and is therefore prepared to follow him. The Lord is my shepherd. I am his sheep, is the picture of that. And then David goes on to give the result. Therefore, because of this, and all the rest of the psalm follows after this, because of this, I shall not want. Our speaker last week whetted my appetite to go through Psalm 23 today with you. Kathy Buttrin was here for our Ladies Ministry Sunday, and she gave, if you were not here, she gave a powerful message on this word, want. Three things that were necessary in order not to lack in life satisfaction, not to lack in the fulfillment of God's purpose in our life. And I'll just touch on them very quickly. First of all, get rid of self-dependence and learn dependence on God. Get rid of fear that comes from relying on our own strength and learn to rely on his strength and the grace that is sufficient for our every need that comes from him. And then third, get rid of the habit of comparing ourselves with others and to be content and satisfied in who we are in Christ and the place that he has given us. Amen? The rest of the psalm presents the things that the great shepherd provides to meet the greatest needs of his sheep so that we do not lack. So here they are. Let's go. Rest. He makes me to lie down. Do you like the word rest? You know, the older I get, the more I like it. Hasn't always been true. I used to view sleep as a waste of time. You just get whatever amount you needed to get through the next day. I think I lived through Bible college on 4 hours of sleep every night, maybe five. But kept me up to date on my studies. God has made us for periods of rest. God himself on the seventh day of creation rested. Never underestimate the importance and the value of the Sabbath rest, our day of worship. Life teaches us that we need rest. Why? So that we will have strength for tomorrow and we won't burn out. So that we can take time to hear the still small voice of God speaking to us. In all of the hustle and bustle of life, if you're not taking time to rest, you can't hear from God. It's in the quiet time that we hear God if we listen. For very good reason, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. It's being still in His presence and it's resting in Him. That's a whole nother sermon all by itself, maybe more, but we press on. He makes me to lie down. That word there, makes, is a verb that carries the idea of forcing if necessary. Okay? Like I used to do as a camp director when we enforced an after-lunch nap. You know, it took a lot of to see that that happened every day. But you had to. They needed their rest. Sometimes that rest is enforced by God in our lives when we are not resting as we should. But in that rest that comes from God comes a refreshing of soul, just as a drink of water on a hot day, and there comes a restoration. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Do you need a refreshing of soul this morning? Rest in Him. Rest in Him, and He will lead you to the still waters. You know, sheep can only drink from waters that are still, and sometimes a shepherd has to make a dam to still the moving water, else the sheep would not be able to drink. Songwriter Reuben Morgan, in a song that we sing called Still, the second verse reads, "Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Know His power. In quietness and trust. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with You above the storm. Father, You are King over the flood. I will be still. I will be still and know You are God." Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 reads, "In quietness and confidence is Your strength." Rest. The shepherd provides that for us, His people. And then the right path. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He stakes His reputation on being able to provide the right path for His sheep. Because of who He is and what He is, there's only one path He can provide, and that's the right one. You may be on the wrong path. You know, when we get our feet on the wrong path, it's not the one He has provided. His path is the one that leads us to green pastures, the place of abundant joy and living. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The psalmist so recognized this that he wrote, "You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Oil anointed to the head in Scripture carries the idea of God's commissioning for service and of His purposes being realized in our lives. Are you afraid of where God might lead you if you were to trust Him unreservedly with your life? Let me share this with you. You don't have to be, because He's competent. You can trust Him. He is able to lead you through every situation. Secondly, He is compassionate. Because He's compassionate, you can confide in Him. There's nothing you can tell Him that will be a surprise. Know that He is compassionate toward you. And He is also constant. His love for you will never change. He takes us, each and every one of us, as we are, with all of our baggage and all of our warts and et cetera, et cetera, and begins a process of glorious change from the inside out. See, there is only one path that our shepherd can provide, and that's the right path. And He does it for His name's sake. He stakes His reputation on it. When God says, "Go this way," don't go another way. Do you know why? Because the other way you will travel at your own risk. Right? The third thing, courage. Courage in life's darkest moments. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The courage that the Lord gives drives out fear. Isaiah 41, verse 10 reads, read it with me. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's the strong one. He's the strong one. In him we find our strength and our courage. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Those words are a picture of the Lord's strong presence in our life. His rod, which drives the enemies away. The enemies of fear and doubt. Pride, that's a big one. Anxiety, that's another big one. False image, that's another big one. They're all big ones. With his rod, he will drive those enemies away. And with his staff, he will rescue his sheep from danger. That's why the crook is there, so that he can reach down over the crevice where the sheep has fallen and gotten trapped and hook it and pull it back to safety. That's what God does as our great shepherd in our own lives. He is our shepherd. And as our shepherd, he seeks us. God is at work in our hearts, tugging us toward himself. The shepherd seeks. And then he accepts. Regardless of our past, regardless of where you might be right now, regardless of the wounds that you may carry, regardless of sorrows or cares or fears or anxieties, he accepts us just as we are. I say this many times, but it bears repeating, because it's hard for the human psyche to really absorb this and hold it true every day. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you have to be become something special or to change a bunch of things in your life before God can accept you. Don't make that mistake. He will accept you just as you are, but praise God, he won't leave you where you are. Because with his help, he will enable you to become more than you could ever dream possible. I guarantee that. I guarantee if there's anyone here today who's not following the Lord Jesus Christ as he lays out the steps before you, that you will never regret making that decision to follow him every day. Amen? He leads us. He invites us not to take his hand, but to let him take our hand, because he's the strong one. He won't let go. So whatever it is that you face in your life, maybe you're facing some kind of dangers in your life. Here's what the psalmist says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Capture the picture, folks. A war is going on in this picture. You're surrounded by your enemies. They're out to get you. And calmly you pause to sit at a table and eat. That's the picture. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's a picture of security and trust in the shepherd. And the result of that is God provides a peace within our hearts. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Let's read it in unison together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen? That comes from heaven above to you. And then the last thing that I will point out today from this psalm that he provides is a home at the end of the journey. Amen? I've showed you this picture before. It's one of my all-time favorite. That's just kind of how I imagine it happening. Maybe. I don't know. But I look for that moment. Try to imagine it sometimes, what it will be when I see Jesus face to face for the first time. Amen? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Unlike cattle and sheep who do not have a choice of the farmer they belong to, God gives us a choice. He simply invites us into his pasture. We can choose his pasture and him as our shepherd or not. And I pray today that if there's someone here as we're preparing to come to the communion table this morning, that you have not made that decision that you can say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd. If you've not let him come into your life, make this the day, even as we proceed. I'm going to ask the team to come to the platform. All he asks of us is a simple faith to trust him by reaching out and accepting his offer to be our Savior and our shepherd. But folks, I also want to conclude with this note in mind. We live best when we live with eternity in mind. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. The psalmist said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what our shepherd is providing for us. So, my question for you then, do you have eternity in your mind? Do you have eternity in your mind when you're deciding what's most important in your life? I submit to you, there is no piece of property, there is no person, there is no job, there isn't anything in this world that is worth more than having Christ as our shepherd and having a home in heaven. Amen?
Heavenly town and glory filled my soul.
Father in heaven, we say amen and amen. And we come before your table this morning in celebration of who you are and for what you have done for us, but also in remembrance this morning. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would just descend upon us as we receive the bread and the cup. Bless these emblems to us, these reminders of your body broken for us and your blood shed, so that we could stand here today in the joy of knowing you and walking with you and living for you and experiencing all the things that you provide for us, your many, many blessings in our life, and then the sure knowledge of a home in heaven with you and our loved ones who have known you for all of eternity. Spirit of God, draw close to us. Speak to us now, we pray, in these precious moments together. Amen.